Please take your Bibles and open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. The title of the message this morning is, What, O My Son? Because in the New American Standard Translation of the first verses of Proverbs 31, that's what the mother says to her son three times in a row. Proverbs 31 contains the words of King Lemuel, which his mother taught him. These are the words of a mother to her son. We are going to focus on verses 10 to 31. The question really is, what, O my son, is a godly woman worth? Or what, O my son, is a godly wife worth? Because we're given here a picture or a portrait of a woman who truly fears the Lord. We are given a number of attributes about this woman. You might know that Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 is an acrostic. The first letter of each verse is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet going in order. It's like every verse beginning with A, then B, C, D, E, F, G. And so I will give you 12 words in alphabetical order, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. See if we get through them all. And these are words that show us the worth of a God-fearing woman, the worth of a God-fearing mother, the worth of a God-fearing wife. I have my original notes from teaching this to my sons, and I called it, What, O My Son, to Pray and Look For in a Woman Before You Get Married. Amen. Amen. And so this is one way to apply this. Of course, this is also what, O moms, to teach your sons to look for before they get married. And the best way to teach them is by example. So this is what, O moms, to be in life. And for all of us who have moms who are like this, or if you have a wife like this, this is what, O my son, to praise God for if you have a wife or a mother like this. Now, I'm not going to read the whole section. It's a long section, so we're just going to start in. I want to walk through the first couple of verses here, and then we'll jump in at verse 10 with the first characteristic. Notice verse 1, Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. We don't know who King Lemuel was. Some say this is Solomon. Some think it was Hezekiah. Others say that this was a Chaldean king who had a Jewish mother, and the Jewish mother taught her son. All who are wise will tell the truth and say, we don't really know. We don't know who King Lemuel was, and God has chosen not to tell us because he's not the one who matters here. It's really the words that his mother taught him. And the thing to know most importantly about him and his mom and the words is that this is part of all Scripture. It's God-breathed. It's profitable. These words of King Lemuel, which his mother taught him, are the words of God for us because they teach us so much. Notice how the words of this mother begin. And from the New American Standard Translation, it's, What, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows? Why would any mother say three times to her son, What, what, what? Probably because the minds of boys tend to wander. The same can be true of the minds of grown men. The mind tends to wander, and I think that this is a mom's attempt to get her son's attention. God's attempt to get your attention, because what God says here through this mother to her son is very, very important. And the what three times gives an outline for the whole chapter. First, it's what, O my son, to avoid. She says in verse 3, Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Son, don't give your strength to bad women, and don't give your strength to wine. A foolish son is a grief to his mother, Proverbs 10:1 says. Many a mother's life has been ruined or hurt or destroyed because a son has given his strength to bad women or has given his strength to wine. So first, she speaks to her son about what to avoid. Then she speaks to her son about how to live, especially how to live as a leader. She says in verses 8 and 9, open your mouth for the speechless and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth and judge righteously. Please the cause of the poor and needy. So she first says, don't give your strength to wine and women. Give your life and your strength to righteousness, to doing what is right. And then the third, what, O my son, I would say is, what, O my son, to look for in a wife? And a good wife will keep you from wine and other bad women. But she paints a portrait in verses 10 to 31 of what a God-fearing woman looks like. This is God's portrait for all of us of the God-fearing woman. And again, this is what to teach your sons to look for before they get married. This is what we ought to teach our daughters to become. This is what we ought to model for our children, because these characteristic qualities are true, or should be true, not only of a God-fearing woman, but of a God-fearing man. So what are the characteristics? What are the marks of this picture of a God-fearing woman? Let's go through them. First, she is atypical. Not typical. Not run-of-the-mill. This is no ordinary woman. Notice how it begins in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Or your Bible might say, a virtuous wife, who can find? The idea is not that it's impossible to find such a woman, but that she is very, very rare. God is speaking here about a woman who is virtuous, or literally, a woman of valor. How many of you remember the mighty men of valor in the Bible? David's mighty men of valor. These were priceless men because they could stand strong in battle. These are the kinds of men you want with you, the kinds of men you want beside you. The word is most often used of men. Here God uses the same Hebrew word, valor, of a woman. Someone who's strong in the fight. Someone who's strong in battle. Someone you want beside you in all the battles of life. A woman of valor, or a wife of valor, who can find? What is her worth? Her worth is far above rubies. God does not say that her worth is about a ruby, or that her worth is many rubies, or that her worth can be compared to rubies. What God is saying is her worth is above and beyond what could even be measured in rubies, a rare and precious stone. In other words, she is priceless. True of any woman who meets these characteristic qualities, true of any wife, true of any mother who meets the characteristic qualities which follow. This is what, O my son, to look for in a wife, and this is what, O men, to rejoice in if you have a wife like this. This is what to teach our sons and daughters. She is atypical, not the common woman. And all the characteristics that follow show how atypical she is. Second, B, she is a believer. She is a believer. I get that from the end of the picture. If you look at verse 30, all the attributes are summed up in this statement. Verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord is the Old Testament expression for one who had true, genuine faith. This woman that we're going to look at, whose characteristic qualities we will list, is a believer. And if you ask why she has all the attributes which we are going to list, the answer to all the why questions will come back to this: because she fears the Lord. Because she fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And to fear the Lord, according to Proverbs 8, verse 13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. This is a woman who hates doing evil. She would hate doing wrong as a wife. She would hate doing wrong to her husband. She would hate doing wrong to her children. So fear of God motivates her to be the atypical woman that she is. She's a believer. And as verse 30 says, charm is deceitful. You know, a woman can deceive by charm. She can fool other people. And beauty is passing. It's temporary. Beauty fades. But the fear of the Lord is neither of those. The fear of the Lord is not something you can fake. And the fear of the Lord is not something that is temporal. It's permanent. That's why it's so priceless. So she is atypical, and she's a believer. 2 out of 12 are done. Now let's get into the meat of it. She is consistent. She is consistent. Notice verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. The picture here is of a woman who day after day after day after day, because she fears the Lord, she is doing her husband good. That's rare. That's not typical. And that is a woman who fears the Lord. And that is priceless. Notice the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. What is the connection between trusting in her and not lacking in gain? This is a man who can go off to work and not worry about what his wife is doing while he's gone. The typical mom in those days would be a homemaker, as you'll see in what follows. She would be at home and he would go off to battle or go off to business. He did not need to worry about her. He could focus on his job or on the battles at hand. And when he brought money home, he did not have to worry that she would squander what he had worked so hard to gain. He could safely trust in his wife to be there for him, to be faithful to him. And notice it says, she does him good and not evil. Why? Because she fears the Lord. Remember, I said the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. This is a woman who would not desire even in a day, even for a minute, to do something evil or hurtful or harmful to her husband or to her children. This is God's portrait of the truly God-fearing woman. She is atypical. She is a believer and she is consistent. Notice she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. When I taught this to my sons, I said, this is what to look for as you even date. You're looking for consistency. If you have a gal who one day is just seems like the godliest woman, and the next day she's all angry and unrighteous and revengeful or vengeful, you want to look for consistency. And that takes time to see. You have to be careful before you get married, right? It takes time to see who is a godly woman. And you know what? It takes time to see what a woman is like even in marriage. And men, if you have a wife who is consistent, praise God for a consistent wife who does you good and not evil all the days of your life. Fourth, D. She is diligent. She is diligent. Verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Of course, every time you compare a woman to something, there's danger involved that she might misunderstand. She's like the merchant ships. This does not mean she's like a large vessel. Right? The comparison is not size. The comparison here is diligence. Notice verse 13, she seeks wool and flax. In the modern vernacular, this is shopping. She shops, okay? She goes shopping. She seeks wool and flax. Do you know what flax is? Flax is a plant. It's actually, there are fields of flax in North Dakota. Saw a beautiful picture of that. You can Google flax and find out tons about it, more than you could ever say in a sermon. Flax is a plant, and it's used to grow, they use the seeds and the stems of it to produce linens. Okay, you've heard of linens. Linens come from flax. Well, she seeks wool and flax, and willingly, the word really delightfully. It's the word for delight, the Old Testament word for delight. She delightfully works with her hands. This is a woman who's not lazy. She's making things for her family. Of course, it's easier these days. In the old days, you had to make bedspreads. You had to make sheets. You had to make clothing. The modern day equivalent is this is a woman who makes sure that her household is clothed. This is a woman who does the shopping, picks the materials, doesn't make hasty buying decisions. You ever get upset with your wife or your mom for shopping? Look, this is what a woman sees as her responsibility. I praise God for a wife who is serious when she shops. She's not going to buy things that are cheap. She's looking for bargains, yes, but she's buying things that are good for the household And over time, I'm blessed to have a wife who over time, she knows, you know, there's a certain kind of ketchup the boys like. There's a certain kind of barbecue sauce. There's certain kinds of clothing, certain kind of jeans. She's learned the sizes. I don't know whether it's to my shame or not, but I haven't shopped for clothes in years. My wife knows I'm a 30-30. You know, like the lever action gun, the 30-30, oh, I'm a 30-30. Now you know my waist and inseam. My wife knows that. And I say, honey, could you get me a set of pants? And she'll go and get a new set of jeans because the old ones have a hole in them. She knows what size, where to get them, and what brand. She goes shopping for wool and flax or denim in the modern day. And delightfully works with her hands. In other words, this is a woman who's, oh, no, I got to make another meal. That's not the picture being given here. The picture here is of a woman who's whistling while she works. She's happy. She's found her place in life. She's a helpmeet. She's a homemaker. She's happily taking care of her family. So she's diligent. Diligent. By the way, most of the verses that follow speak of her diligence, but there's more here. So far, if you're a young man, Ben, and you would be looking for a godly wife, you would look for a woman who's atypical, believing, consistent, and what? Diligent, with a little help from the audience. Good. Good. Diligent. E, early riser. An early riser. Or you might say eager. Either one would fit. Verse 15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidens. Now, how would you detect this early on in life? Because it's very possible that King Lemuel's mother was giving him advice about the kind of wife to seek. How would you know if she's like this? You ask, hey, what time do you get up? And if she says, oh, I love to sleep in till noon every day if I could. Not the picture we're given here. And you might say this is kind of a stretch. You know, an early riser? I don't think so. This proverb is listing virtues that are observable. In other words, this woman is known by her deeds, and this is a very simple deed by which a woman may be known. Is she eager to do things during the day? Does she have a plan? Is she diligent? Does she want to get to work? Or would she prefer to sleep all the time? Imagine it this way. Two families. Imagine they both have the same number of children. Imagine that all other things are equal. The only difference between the moms or the wives in these two families is one of them is an early riser, and she rises early to get the kids off to school or to make sure her husband's ready for the day or prepare a meal or clean the house. One woman does that. The other woman just can't seem to get out of bed. She wants to sleep in. It's always a burden to get up. Which is more virtuous? Which is more rare? Which is worth more? God is painting a picture. Lemuel's mother is saying this. And she's saying, son, what, oh my son, to look for in a wife? What to praise God for if you have this in a mom? A woman who's an early riser. A woman who's eager to get about the work of the day. Notice, again, it says in verse 15, she rises while it is yet night, that's early morning, and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. I taught a class on Proverbs here in Family Training Hour, and Ingrid, if you might remember Ingrid said, if they have questions about a household with maidservants and providing for the maidservants, you can ask me. Because she grew up in a home where that was understood. A lot of homes back in the old days had servants. It was not a bad thing. There was a lot of work to be done, oftentimes a lot of kids, and to have servants in the home was not a bad thing. But notice the picture that's given here. This woman is serving the servants. This is a picture of a Christ-like woman who lives not to be served, but to serve. Remember, Jesus said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The picture here is of a woman who gives her life for her household. She's building up her house day by day by doing good to her husband and to her children and even to the servants in her home. She's an early riser. So what would you look for, son? Drew, You'd look for an atypical woman, a believer, one who's consistent, one who's diligent, one who's an early riser. One who is, and I'm going to double up here because they're both here, frugal and fruitful. Frugal means she's wise with money. Fruitful means she is productive with time and money. Notice verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. The picture here is of a woman who is very frugal with money and who is very fruitful with time. She considers a field, it says in verse 16. Well, what's to consider? Well, a field is precious real estate. And not all fields are the same, especially if what you want to do is plant a vineyard or plant a garden or crops. So this is the picture of a woman who's a careful buyer. She goes out. She considers the field. Is the soil fertile? Is this going to be good for a garden? Is this going to be good for growing crops? She considers it before she buys it. And then the picture is that she buys it and she plants crops there. And then she sells the crops and makes money from that. Notice the text skips a few things, but she considers a field, she buys it, from her profits she plants a vineyard. This is a woman who is involved in commerce of some kind. She's making wise use of both time and money. And from what follows, she's doing it for a purpose. It's to take care of her house. So again, if you draw the principle out, you can see she is frugal and she is fruitful. She's wise with time and money and she is productive. The opposite would be one who is lazy. She's not lazy. She knows how to make a profit. Nearly every woman and every man knows how to spend money. But not every woman and not every man knows how to make money or how to invest money. And this is what the picture shows us, that a woman who truly fears the Lord is a steward of both time and resources. She's a steward. She plants a vineyard probably to grow grapes in order to sell the produce and to provide for her family. She knows how to make use of what God gives her. Again, all this ties back to she is diligent, but you can break that out and see that she is an early riser, not a lover of sleep. And she is frugal and fruitful, not foolish with money, not foolish with her time. Seventh, she's also generous. She's generous. Notice it says, verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. Probably not a picture of going to the gym. This is probably a picture of going out and working. And yet that is how a woman would get her exercise, through her work. Then it says, she perceives, verse 18, that her merchandise is good. Literally, she tastes that her merchandise is good. She tastes the fruit of her farming or gardening efforts. She tastes that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out by night. She's a hard worker. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, which was a tool or a rod or a staff for holding material. And the picture is of her making things. She stretches out her hands to the distaff. Her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And the yes, I think, is yes, she does not only care for her own. She even cares for those beyond her own home. This is a generous woman. That's the quality. That's the picture. This is a God-fearing woman. She is using her life, her time, her abilities to do things, to make things, not just for her own household, but even for the poor and the needy in the community. How many of you have been inspired by women who volunteer in the community? Anybody? I am. And this is a great blessing to mankind, as I said earlier. Women are a huge blessing to mankind. How much volunteer work is done in the communities by women? I would dare say, I have no statistic, but I would dare say the majority. A large majority of work that is done in the communities to help the poor and to help the needy is done by moms, done by women. This is where men need to, you know, learn a lesson. I'm very thankful to my wife, who has in recent years gotten more involved in the community, increasingly involved in the community. I praise God for her efforts at CASA and for her work in the school district. And I praise God, I see many of you women doing the same thing. You're involved in some way or another in the community. This is a picture of a God-fearing woman. You say, well, why would she do that? Have you ever noticed how many Proverbs talk about reaching out to the poor? He who honors God will have mercy on the needy. Proverbs 14, verse 31. Whoever has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 14, 21. He who has pity on the poor is lending to the Lord. Proverbs 19, verse 17. And then it says, and the Lord will pay back what is given. You ladies who volunteer, who do work to reach out and help the needy and the poor, you are being and will be rewarded. And how about this? Proverbs 21, 13. Whoever shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will cry himself and not be heard. The picture of you that you hear the poor, you know they're out there, you know they have needs. But if you close your ear and your heart to them, what will happen when you cry out for help? The God-fearing woman is generous. She helps those in need. Again, I say to you younger men, and I encourage you moms to tell your younger men, I've got two that, if I'm guessing, in the next 2 years might be marrying. And I tell them, guys, sons, look for a woman who is atypical, not your average run-of-the-mill woman. Look for one who is a believer. Look for signs, evidences that this woman truly fears the Lord. Look for a woman who is consistent. Over time, you'll be able to tell. We even told one of our sons to test a certain woman who was interested in him, very interested, aggressively interested. And we said, you know, you need to test her. And we said, we told him the test he ought to test her with. And he tested her and she failed. And we're very thankful he moved on. Very thankful. Look for a woman who's consistent. Look for a woman who's diligent. And this can be seen early in life. Does this woman help her mom? Does she help her dad? Does she help around the house? We also told our other son to test a woman. We said, look, you want to spend time with her today? We are working in the lawn fixing our sprinklers. Tell her that you're busy fixing sprinklers and she's welcome to come over and help. And she was there that day fixing sprinklers. So that's a good sign, son, but that's only one out of 12. She has to run the gauntlet. She has to pass the full battery of tests. So look for a woman who is diligent, one who is an early riser. This too, I will say, I mean, most of you have met Jordan's girlfriend. And we, on a number of occasions, have had to get up very early to go someplace, you know, with Jordan in April or go to a football game or something like that. She's never late. She's never late. We've had it where we've left at like 5 o'clock in the morning. She's not late. That's a good sign, an early riser. Frugal and fruitful. Generous. We're up to H, right? H, a homemaker. The picture here is of a homemaker. Notice verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. This is a woman who's concerned about her home. The household was the family. You could as well put in the word family there in verses 21 and 22. She is not afraid of snow for her family because her family is clothed with scarlet. Now listen, whether that means you went out and made quality garments for your kids or whether that means you went out and bought quality garments for your kids, the idea is the same. This is a woman who cares for her home. Titus 2 tells us that the older women in the church are to be teaching the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be good keepers at home. The picture of a God-fearing woman is the picture of a woman who cares about her house, who, yes, keeps a nice house, cleans the house, yes, and the husband should be right there with her. But that's the picture, and it's not old-fashioned. The Bible speaks today. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and maybe it pierces. Maybe it's convicting. But a woman who truly fears the Lord will be caring about her home, will see to it that her home and her family, that her household is well taken care of. She's a homemaker, a homemaker. She's not afraid of snow. She doesn't fear that her family's going to freeze out there. She's got them covered. I like that. One person said, this woman, she's got the family covered, meaning she's got them covered in good clothing. Not the cheap stuff, by the way. Scarlet is not the cheap stuff. This woman is trying to provide the best quality garments she can for her family. She's not sparing expense when it comes to caring for her family. She makes tapestry for herself. Some would say this means she makes coverings for the beds. If you come to my house, you will notice that every bed has a covering that was handmade. Handmade by my wife. Every bed has a quilt. Does this mean you have to quilt? No. But if you can't, there should be a good cover. The kids should be warm at night. This is just a picture of a woman who's caring for her own household. Next, I think we're up to ninth, letter I. She is influential. Influential, but indirectly so. I think about wives of teachers. I think about wives of community leaders. These are women who are influential in the community, and yet largely their influence is through their husband. Notice verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Why is he known? Why is this given to us in the picture of a God-fearing woman? Because she is taking good care of him at home. He's freed up to do what he's doing in the community. He's well known in the gates. This man is an influential leader, but behind every good man is a better woman. Right? Behind every good man is a better woman. Certainly true of me if I can be called good. There's a better woman behind me. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders. He sits among the leaders. And again, the idea is that she is important. And so to you young men who have not yet been married, Ben, Drew, others, listen, finding such a woman is important to you and whatever you want to do. Believe me, you will not be half the man you could be without a woman like this. You'll be twice the man you could be if you find such a woman. This is what, oh my son, to look and wait and pray for in a wife. Atypical, believing, consistent, diligent, early riser, frugal and fruitful, generous, homemaker type, important or influential, even indirectly. She is important in her own sphere. Notice it's not as though she has no influence of her own. It says, verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. She no doubt has contact with the people that her husband has contact with in the community, and she's making them gifts. One of the greatest joys I have is watching my wife work on things that I know she's making for you. Some of you have received either a wedding gift that she made for you or a baby blanket that she made for you. I find great joy in seeing her do things with her hands, and I know she's doing it just to give to one of you. She's influential. She's important in her own sphere. She's good for you. The same is true of your wife, men. She's good for you. Not good for a man to be alone. And if you have a mom who's like this, you should praise God for a mom like this. She's good for you. Last three. We'll take these together. She is joyful, she is kind, and she is loving. Joyful, kind, and loving. Notice verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She will rejoice in time to come. Some of your Bibles say that she smiles at the future. She does not look at her life and all that she does as drudgery. She looks at her life as what God has designed her to do. It's a beautiful thing to see a woman fulfilling her role in life with joy and rejoicing at where she's at in life. That's the picture here. She is a companion and a helpmate to her husband. She is a rich blessing to her children. She's making the most of her position in life. Happy is the woman who understands God's design for her and who fulfills her God-given design with joy. That's a happy, blessed woman. She's joyful, she's kind. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. I'm sorry, verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. What do you think is the law of kindness? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. How many were taught that by their moms? I had to be reminded of that over and over and over. I still need reminded by my wife. If you can't say something nice, don't say something at all. Don't say anything at all. This is the law of kindness, the law that she speaks words of kindness. Her tongue is controlled. This is not a gossip. This is not a slanderer. This is not a woman who sits around and gossips about everyone else and slanders others behind their back. Why? She fears God. She fears the Lord. The law of kindness is on her tongue. She is known for her kindness. I'll never forget Dave Williams' mom. Dave Williams was a high school buddy. We'd always go to his house after school to play rollerblade hockey. Yes, I used to rollerblade. And we'd rollerblade around his driveway and play hockey. His mother was the sweetest, she had to be the sweetest lady in town. She'd be coming out, David, do any of the guys want iced tea yet? In a minute, Mom. We go in, she's got iced tea or she's got milk and cookies. And we were always like, wow, what a wonderful mom. So kind. And third, loving. Loving. Joyful, kind, and loving. These are the last three, 10, 11, and 12. Loving. Notice it says she watches over the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. The last one is she's not lazy. She's loving. She's not idle. She's always working on the ways of her household, always looking over them and thinking about their needs and not her own. You think that bears fruit? What do you think? If a mom is like that, do you think it bears fruit? If a wife is like that, does it bear fruit? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her children will actually do what we witnessed today in some children. They will stand up in the congregation and testify to their mother. And we just saw it today. Her children, it doesn't say they have to be children when they do it. Her children, perhaps her grown children, her adult children, even her children after she's gone, will rise up and say, my mother was blessed. My mother was blessed of God. She was atypical. She was a believing, God-fearing woman. She was consistent to my father. She was diligent to do work around the house. She was an early riser. She was frugal. She could pinch a penny and make it a dime. She was fruitful, productive, the things that she did with her time and her life. She was generous. I remember the time when, they'll testify, right? She was a homemaker. I was so glad she was there when I came home from school. She was influential, especially through my dad. People will say that about their mom. She influenced in the community by being good to my father. She was joyful and kind and loving. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And men, it's a good thing to praise your wife in public. If you get the chance. And I appreciate you men because I've heard many of you men do that. Praise your wife. Find what is praiseworthy in your wife and praise her for it. Not just to her. This is her husband. Will praise her probably in the gates. Probably in his place of influence. And I praise God for my wife. She is this Proverbs 31 woman. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Men, you ever find yourself at a loss for words? You just don't know what to say if you're going to praise your wife? Here you're given what to say. This is what you say. You say, honey, you know, a lot of daughters have done well, but you take the cake. You excel them all. This is God giving you the words to say. It's great. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's go back to the question we asked the children. You know what? The answer to every question we asked, how many sleepless nights? How many steps? How much money does she spend? How many worrisome thoughts? The answer is no one knows. That's the answer. No one knows. You cannot begin to count. The same is true of her worth. You cannot begin to estimate the worth of a God-fearing wife, a God-fearing mom, a God-fearing woman in any sphere. Let's praise God for such women. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the portrait that you've painted. We know that your standards are high. We know that you give this portrait because a God-fearing woman is a picture of Christ. She is a picture of a woman who is sacrificing her own life for the sake of others. We thank you for women who are like that, Lord. We thank you for the women in this place who are just like this, sacrificing their lives for the sake of those around them in love and with joy. Father, we ask your blessing, your comfort, your strength for every God-fearing woman in this place. If there be any in here who don't know Christ, and who do not live this kind of life or have no desire to live such a life. We pray, Father, that you might by your Holy Spirit convict them and draw them to yourself and draw them to Christ, that they might be given a fear of you and a desire to serve you. Father, we honor you and we give praise to you for all the women who are like this in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.